Hello, friends. This is the Art Girl on Fire podcast. And today, my very special guest is Crystal. And I'm going to let her introduce herself to you real quick, and then we'll get into it.
Hi, I'm Crystal Phillips. I have recently been trained as a shaman. I've been an artist my whole life as well. I think creation is a way that my soul breathes. And I've noticed that when life is hard and I'm not doing very good self-care, my art hurts as well. And my art space, too, I noticed that, too, that it's a big reflection on when I'm not doing the best at taking care of myself, it starts to look crappy. And I'm like, oh, thanks, soul, for giving me a visual on what I'm doing to myself. So, yeah, creativity has been with me since I was born.
That's awesome. And you have an Etsy shop.
I do have an Etsy shop, yeah, Ladybug on a Leaf. Etsy.com.
Mm-hmm. And you can also, you can make appointments for your healing sessions through your Etsy as well.
Yes.
Okay. I'll link all this in the show notes so people can find you. Okay. Because awesome. I think the work you do is so important, like not just the art, but the healing work that you do. So tell me a little bit about shamanism and how you came to that and maybe how you trained in it.
Yeah. So how it came about was really insane. It was not on my radar at all. I was very happy being, you know, drowning in my church activities and in town. I had moved to Jacksonville in 2001. And there's nobody here that my ex-husband and I knew. So it was just the two of us. And church was, it really became my family. And to date, they're my family. So it wasn't on my radar at all. I was ordained as a deacon in the church in, I believe it was 2014. And I served 6 years. And then you're supposed to take a break after 6 years. And I was on a flight to Los Angeles in 2018. I think it's 2017, 2018. And it just hit me like 1,000 pounds. Like you need to train. And I had gotten some super weird dreams that now that I've met people, they can give me it. They, you know, they're wise and older and they can give me more specific details as to who these beings were. But I had a dream, two very gigantic dreams. One was an angel. And like, I wasn't taught to pray to angels really. I was raised Catholic and Jewish. So it was really, you know, God. And then my mom's the Catholic. So she was, you know, you pray to Jesus. Mm-hmm. But angels weren't on my radar at all. But I had this really profound dream of an angel. And without telling too many details, basically, he was like, you got work to do. And you need to hurry up. And
get to it. I love it.
And I'm like, in my dream, I'm like this. You're talking to me? And he was glorious. And his wings took up my entire field of vision, and they were so white that they like it was blinding. It was this glorious thing. And actually, that is what got me to go talk to my pastor, and began my relationship with him. And he verified a lot of stuff that the angel said. And before he was a pastor, he was a psychiatrist, and his special field was dream interpretation. So it was perfect.
That's amazing.
For me. So I would bring him all my crazy dreams and he would tell me that I'm not crazy and then break them down, you know, psychologically and historically. And he's still alive. He's still magnificent, but he moved away to go retire, which he needed to. Mm-hmm. And then I had another dream. And this one I did share a video about in the spring. And that was that three wise ancient beings appeared to me in a great white space. And they said very plainly, you're a healer. You need to learn how to heal. And again, in my dream, I'm like, you're talking to me. Okay. No one else sees these people. Okay. It's just me. And they said it three times and they were exuding so much love. And I was like, okay, I need to figure out what this is. And someone else, a gentleman that I looked up to for spiritual guidance, who's like a mentor and beloved friend, he had said, he's like, you need to read the Book of Enoch and the Book of Mary. And in the Book of Mary, it is said, like she writes, in your lifetime, you will be visited by three beings. And depending on your soul level, you will either get three terrifying beasts or you will get three wise beings that will tell you like your destiny. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, okay. But, you know, I'm thinking healer. I'm thinking I'm in my early 30s. I have like two young kids. I'm not going to go back to medical school. Mm-hmm. And I had wanted to become a psychiatrist prior to my kids being born, but it just wasn't in the cards. And so this just, like I said, it hit me on a plane. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Brooks, you need to learn how to become a shaman. And I'm like, a shawetta?
Like, excuse me, sir?
Yeah, like, what? And then, you know, you look at the Bible, and the Bible's like, don't go to seers. And I think that there's some versions even specifically says, like, don't go to shaman. Mm-hmm. So then I brought that to my pastor, too. And they're like, you know, you're not. He said, I've been a pastor for 35 years, and I have never met anyone who's had as many bizarre experiences as you have.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're a mystic. And I'm like, is that like anti-Jesus? Like, what is that? And he gets his Bible, and he's like, everything I know about the Lord, I have learned in school. Mm-hmm. And because of this book, from studying this book. And he goes, you get experiences directly from God. You accept them as such, and then you share them with others. It's like, you're a mystic. And I was like, okay, so if I go to shaman training, like, am I going to go to hell? And then he gave me the history of the Bible, and that it was changed in the time of Constantine to match their agenda, that and the church definitely was losing control over people. And Constantine's like, well, I need to still be the boss. And the church is like, well, we do too. And Constantine's like, okay, we're going to make this Christianity the main religion. And we're going to make people not inner reflect. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make them not just don't go to your village healer. You need to go right to the church.
Yep.
So
became an institution that, and kind of erased the feminine part of God and just a big old mess. So much fear.
Yeah.
Like my path is kind of similar to yours as far as the, like, is this okay? Like, I was raised Christian as well, and I'm still a Christian, but I studied Reiki, and it was several months of, like, Jesus, is this okay? Like, Holy Spirit, and,
yeah.
Like, is this okay? Is it okay? Uh-huh. You know, and you know, I was led to the perfect teacher. She'd been a friend of mine for a decade, and she had started her healing journey just a couple years before me and gotten her master's Reiki, and I was hoping she would teach at some point. She wasn't attuning people yet. And she called me about 3 weeks after I had started praying, like, oh, I hope she teaches. I want to learn with Patricia. I want to learn with her. She called me. She's like, I've been thinking about maybe doing Reiki classes. Do you think anybody would come? And I was like, girl, me, I've been praying for this. Yes, please, let's do this. And that's how it came amazing. About. And it was so... such a sweet experience, and like confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. Like when you're spirit led and you're doing what serves the highest good, I feel like you get the confirmation so you don't, you know, get too anxious about it.
It opens up.
Yeah. But coming from a Christian background and you from yours, you know, that fear, like we have a lot of fear work to do. I still have to do, you know, sometimes it'll pop up like, why is this still hanging out? What's going on? You know, but you do the work and step by step, you get little pieces chipped away of it. You know, one day we'll wake up.
We're not immune to it.
No. I think as long as we're in our...
That's the other thing I learned. It's like...
Yeah. Yep. We still have to do the work, even as healers. Like, we've still got to work on our healing, even as we help other people.
And, right.
You know, we cannot forget that.
Right. Yeah. I'm still human and life can still suck.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I think too, you know, from growing up in church and stuff, there's a mindset too that I still work against, is that if things aren't going exactly right for you, that you've kind of fallen out of God's favor, or you're not quote unquote blessed, then the prosperity gospel and stuff, it's all like convoluted. But sometimes I think like we have our downtime so that we can go inside and find those roots, and you know, when we break those loose, it helps not just us, but everyone previously in our ancestral line and then after us in our ancestral line.
Yes.
And I've seen things like in real time.
My best friend just brought that to me, like, oh my God, that's amazing. You're right, because there's time isn't real.
Right. It is not. Yeah, it's an illusion. And like being older, I'm 44, and I'm glad that I was still like, oh, I'm too old to... I don't need to start anything new. Like, I always want to learn new things, and becoming a healer, like at 39, 40 was like, I'm so happy that I did it. Like, age is nothing. Yeah. Time is nothing, you know.
That's right. And your soul's done it before. That's the thing too. Like yes. When I do the work, it's I'm home. And that was a big deal to find something, because that's how I feel when I make things, right? When I'm creating in my craft, whichever craft it is of the freaking week.
I'm the same.
Yeah. It's like I'm home. And then when I started doing this, I'm like, this comes super easy. And it's, you know, I can feel it. Like I get goosebumps everywhere. And I can feel it. What was your first like big energy thing that where you're like, this is for real?
Oh, man. Oh. Well, before I got attuned doing Reiki, I was practicing yoga, and I had been through some really like heartbreaking stuff, and I was trying to breathe. I could barely even breathe, I was going for like pushing through, like I need to do this. It'll make me feel better, quote unquote. But I didn't really understand energy so much at that point. But I took this breath in and like something clicked and like burst open, like right inside the heart center. And like all this light just flooded in, and like Holy Spirit was just like, you know, it's okay. You're good. You know, don't give up. You're loved. You're worth, like all the good things that we forget and that our inner children need to hear, and like that you need to hear after you've been hurt or your heart's broken.
Right.
Like, just this balm of just healing. And that like set me off. And then I started, you know, looking into energy and the chakra systems and Reiki healing and just anything I could get my hands on, you know. And then when I got over my fear, I was like, yeah, Reiki, it's what I'm going to do. This is the path. That first attunement class that I went to, and then the second too, especially, we were doing a distance healing on one of my classmates' mom, I think it was, or her aunt. And so we, you know, you drop in and you go to the place, and I saw what I saw. And at first I was like, well, am I seeing what I'm seeing? Is my brain just telling me that this is what I'm seeing, you know? But we came out of meditation, and our teacher was like, so what did you see? And, you know, and we'll call her and we'll ask her if she's feeling better or whatever. And I was like, I saw like her, I think right hip or something. I saw some like congestion in there, and we saw some other things, and everything we saw was true. And like, I just started crying. Wow. I was like, oh, wow. Like you said, it felt like home. Like you felt like remembering, not just doing this thing you just learned. It was like, no, my soul knows how to do this. My spirit knows this already. Yeah. And it's so good. And I remember the first time I had an actual client to work with and was doing the long distance work. Again, I was like, am I going to see anything? Is this going to even help? Is it just like, what if I tell her what I saw? And she's like, no, that's not what it is. You know, but that's never, ever happened. Everything I see, it resonates. It's true. It helps them.
Yeah.
And what is even a huge confirmation for me as far as that goes is I just get the information. I don't always get the meaning of it. Like I'll get the symbols, I'll get the patterns, the colors, whatever. And I just give that to the client. Like, this is what I saw. And then when they get back with me is when, like, oh my gosh, I can't even.
The magic happens.
Yes. They're like, oh yeah, that's when I, you know, I was in this accident when I was 5 and I hurt my elbow or whatever, you know, like inner child things, you know, things about their life. I don't know. I would never know. I don't ask those questions, but they're like, yeah, this happened and now I feel better. And, you know, it's not, you can't fake it.
Right. And then some of the stuff is so weird too. That's what I had to learn was that usually the more weird something is, the more likely you're picking up on a very unique experience for the soul.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Getting over myself. I feel like it's still a hurdle. Like I still I have my dad's voice in my head. My dad's really analytical and I have to touch it to believe it. And I'm like, well, I can't see your brain, but I'm guessing it's in there. Like we can't see air, but we know it keeps us alive. It's not the best. But yes, in my head, I'm always like, this is BS. You're making this up. And then the client will come back with this beautiful, super long detailed thing. And I'm like, that matches. Like, that's where it's insane. Like, that's the magic. Like
it is. Like, it's magical.
Everything in existence ever what are the odds of two souls that I've never met before or in this life mm-hmm. coming up with the same exact details?
Like, right, you
like,
can't.
That's the part where like you really have to think mathematically, what are the odds of two people coming up with the same thing?
Yeah, it's impossible. It's just impossible.
Right.
And right. It's made me, though, really, I'm just a huge fan of quantum field theory. And I mean, just how can you not? Like, this is how we do our work, right? And so, like, it's not all, I guess, you know, woo-woo. People say, oh, it's woo-woo. It's woo-woo. It's not.
Yeah,
like,
and then when you
physics.
Keep digging down the rabbit hole, you come to find that the government really, like, the government knows it's real, and they push agendas and make us feel insane.
Oh, yeah.
That's what gets me, like, why? Like, you're not the church. Like, you're not in charge of us. Why the F would you hide that everyone's magical and amazing? That's the part I don't understand.
Because if, like, we're in our own documents. If we're in our own power, then we're dangerous. Like, if we're dumbed down and we're pacified and we're just kind of sleepwalking through life, they can tell us anything they want.
So, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's a whole nother rabbit hole.
I know. Well, talking about your art that you do, you said earlier, like, when you're not taking care of yourself, it reflects in your work
in
and
my workspace.
In your workspace too. I felt that like bone deep when you said that. Like, when I come and my desk is all cluttered and like, oh man, I've been neglectful. I need to get this together.
Yeah. So I hadn't made anything. I think the last thing I had created was my Broken Angel painting. And that came out in a day. And that was insane. Cause that painting is almost life size. Mm-hmm. And it was my last painting that I had done. And it was in the worst moment. Well, I did not realize that it was in the first of worst moments of my life. One of the things in shamanism is that there's one of the directions we die to ourself. And one of the ceremonies is we list everything that we believe we are. Mm-hmm. So I'm mom, a friend, sister, a daughter, artist, you know, Reiki practitioner. We say all that, and then we basically were giving it up so that when a shaman journeys into the underworld, ugly things can't hold it against you. So I kind of liken it to like, no, like Superman can't let anyone know that Lois Lane is his girl. Cause right. Then Lex Luthor will always freaking get her and haha, I have power over you. So we give up everything. We sacrifice everything to do this work. And so we're supposed to not have any attachments to anything and no person, no item mm-hmm. in the physical world. What floored me was when my whole life as I knew it was falling apart in 2019, it dawned on me, this was that ceremony that we did. Like,
yeah.
So what we created in the ceremony is manifesting in the physical world. And it was brutal and awful. But then that's, you know, you open up so much space within your soul and psyche to be able to open up and help others, because we're starting with a blank slate. So that painting was the last thing I had done. And then it wasn't until September, October, where I went on a new healing venture and started making a lot of stuff. And I was like, yeah, this feels so good to make stuff. And I'm like, you hadn't made anything in almost 2 years. And that was it. So that was a big reflection of the, what's bigger than a tsunami, like a planet colliding with another planet. Like, God was really just giving it to me. Like, I had my marriage had fallen apart. One of my best friends had after of 24 years, was like, I can't be your friend anymore. My biological father died. My grandfather died. My uncle died. My mom almost died. 5 days after that, my divorce went through, you know, COVID, quarantine, homeschool. It was like, it didn't stop. And so back to that was the reflection that, so September of 2021 was like the first time since the summer of 2019 that I had time to resurface and breathe and be like, oh, okay, the waters have died and now we can do this. And I'm so grateful that the creative juices are coming back in. The healing, it's the healing part of this work has always been like a reprieve. So like, no matter how crazy my life was, it forced me to stop and focus and on focus on other, right? And you're mm-hmm. servicing another. So that was why I'm like, no matter what, besides the fact that I had promised these people that I'm going to do this work on them, but it really gave me a sweet space to settle and regroup and re-energize. And I feel like doing that and helping to heal others really heal my, plus that's the prayer that I pray when I start anyway. Besides that the client feels nothing, I pray that as I do unto this client, I do unto myself and I do unto my brothers and sisters of the world.
Mm-hmm.
No, the other day I realized, I'm like, well, so does that mean you're practicing journey? You're practicing this, you know, magic on people that you don't have their permission, but too bad.
Yeah, I think that's like, it was kind of your lifeline through all of the storms that you had to walk through, you know, but
it really was.
You know, that's something like I have, like I said, I'm still Christian. I haven't thrown out everything, you know, as far as my path looks a lot different than it did before, but
right.
One of those things, like when you're having trouble, like find someone to pray for. You know, find someone that needs healing, yes. Find someone else, because it gets you right. Out of your own head. Like sometimes I feel like we can get in our own head pretty bad. And sometimes
pretty bad, right? Yeah,
in the path that we're on, maybe sometimes even worse and deeper than like quote unquote normal people do.
Right.
We just feel everything.
People that have the biggest hearts. Right. They do. Those with the biggest hearts
mm-hmm.
are, and the ones that are most sensitive are the ones, because you don't want to hurt anyone.
Right.
Because you feel everything so deeply. So yeah, you're going to overthink, what 100 ways can I hurt someone with my next step?
Right. Right.
And unfortunately, that's exhausting.
Yeah, it does.
And you're setting yourself up for failure, because people have feelings and you're going to hurt someone's feelings eventually anyway. But
true. Like you can't please everyone. But I think when our intention is to serve the highest good and to do no harm, that just those two things can really be just really good things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, like you work as a healer, you have your artwork that you do, run your shop. What does your daily personal spiritual practice look like? Like what are some things that are kind of your touchstones that help you like stay out of your own head and stay centered, you know?
So there are a couple Bible verses that I feel like I really had to overcome the guilty Catholic, like, don't be selfish, don't pray for yourself. And then when I read these and really looked at them, I'm like, no way, man. Like, look at this. So the Bible verses are, pray without ceasing, bring me all of your petitions. And ye who are sinful would not give your child a serpent when they ask for bread. Why would you think that your heavenly Father would not bless you even more? So, you know, the prayer without ceasing, that like God's asking to stay in constant communication with him. Right. And then now that I have kids, like, what do I want my kids to just come to me when they have really gigantic emergencies? Or do I want them to say, hey, I love you. Thank you. Right. So if it's on a normal day, like if everything's going really well, like if I slept good, kids slept good, dogs didn't barf, or cats, you know, not freaking screaming at 2 o'clock in the morning. Or, you know, there's an emergency with my mom. So, which like how many days is this? But on a good day, mm-hmm. I'll wake up and I'll just thank you, Lord, that we all woke up. Thank you for my animals. Thank you for my beloved boo. Thank you for this extra day with my mom. And then I'll pray for the planet. I'm like, God bless my brothers and sisters on Earth and remove any fear from them. And if they're sick or suffering or fearful, cover them with your divine light and help them. And getting out of my selfish prayers, you know, help when I'm praying for others. That brings me like, yeah, you are living in a world where things are pretty crappy right now, but you're doing your best to bring the light. And then like, if I find myself freaking out, I just remember, dear, everything on earth, there is an infinite amount of energy in heaven. So anything, I'm talking like God, I feel like God wants to be in the tiny stuff. God wants to help you find your shoe as he wants to help you heal your broken leg. Right. Or as he wants to help heal the world. So I bring him into the tiny moments, and Lord, I need help with this. I'm not doing good right now. I'm not being the best human being. Help me out. Mm-hmm. And then it always ends up so much better than if I was sitting in a corner driving myself crazy with anxiety.
Right.
So
we strive so hard on our own. And like, if we just stop and be like, can I please have some help?
Yes.
You know,
it's really
so
hard.
Much smoother. It is hard. It is.
Yeah. I think as like women in this society too, like being a mom.
That's what I was going to say. Like we're expected to carry it all.
Right. American society. Like if you think about what we did, right, we left the homeland and came over here to do it ourselves. And then you think about the Wild West. Wild West, we moved from the colonies to go and be tough and tough it out in the cold and the heat and the everything all by ourselves. So that is ingrained in us. That's our heritage, is independent women. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you don't need help. What, you're tired? Too bad. Drink another cup of coffee, sweetheart. You're not gonna freaking take a nap. What, you're trying to ask your neighbor? No. So this has been really hard for me. Like, Hispanic culture is really different than American female culture, right? Like, we're really familial, right? Like you're tired. Okay, call your tia, because mm-hmm. tia probably lives next door, and tia can take your monkeys for you and take care of them and feed them. So it was really hard for me as an American Hispanic too to like, what? But all my white friends are like, you know, independent and strong. We need to do this by ourselves. And then we've got this super tight familial Hispanic culture, and where do we marry the two? So asking for help, oh my God.
It's hard.
That's my other challenge. Like,
yeah. And I think, yeah, though, something that, like, every woman needs to hear this. On the outside and on Instagram and everywhere, women might look like they're handling it okay, but anyone who's trying to do it all on our own, like, we are falling apart. Like, we need community, whether it's family or your friends or your church community. Right. Like, we're made for that. And I feel like that's another thing that has been kind of erased from, you know, it's like, well, you go to church, you go to the building, whatever, but it's not a strong community of people who really care for each other in a way that's more than surface level. Like, we used to do life together.
As a village.
Yeah. And truly, I feel like it's really taking a toll on a lot of people mentally and emotionally, trying to do it on your own and failing when, like, we're not meant to do it on our own. Like, you're going to fail. It's going to suck, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah. Right. And that was 2020, I felt, was my year of reaping. So I'm the person that everyone turns to in every situation ever in the universe. And that, you know, it made me happy. It brought me joy to be the helper. Mm-hmm. And when my problem is asking for help, you know, 2020 was horrible for everyone, but it was exceptionally difficult in our household. And that was my year where I'm like, all right, self, you have an army of people that you love and have taken care of for over a decade. And like, they were just begging, like my pastor would be like, I've got like 20 people that want to help you out. So what do you need? Mm-hmm. And they brought meals. They offered to help me, you know, be home and watch the kids or give me a break from having to care for my mom. They all stepped up, and there were so many times where I wept and I'm myself, like you are worthy of receiving the love that you have given out mm-hmm. so freely all this time. And that was my big, like, once I got that balance in and I admitted I do need help. I'm mm-hmm. one little brown girl. I cannot do everything by myself.
But what a healing moment, though, when you realize not just that you need to ask for help, but that you deserve it. Like, you're worthy of that help and that love. Like, that's hard. Work on that one. Like, I still,
that is hard.
Like, a few weeks ago, Spirit woke me up in the middle of the night, just be like, listen, you are worthy of .. Like, listen. I was like, okay. Yes, ma'am. I got it. But I still, it's a lifelong thing, I think. Because too, like, in the society we live in, like, nothing is ever enough. Like, we're not skinny enough. We're not pretty enough. We don't make enough money. We don't have the right house. Like, nothing is enough. Or, you know, you only deserve it if you work 80 hours a week in A, B, or C. You know, it's like, no, we all inherently, we're of God. We're all connected. And every single person deserves and is worthy of love and respect and being cared for when they need it, you know.
Yeah.
It's a big mindset shift. But I feel like, you know, as healers, we're getting that ball rolling, and maybe we can get that snowball bigger and bigger and bigger until it just overtakes us all.
Yeah. And the message does come through a lot from angels, that for my clients, like, girl, you need your self-care, and you can't get from an empty bucket. So go do something. And what's funny is, like, the stuff is so simple. Like, it's not go out and spend $10,000 on this machine. It's, yo, sister, walk barefoot outside.
Yes, like, walk barefoot outside.
Kiss your face.
Yes, sunshine.
Yeah. Like, the answer is so simple. And, like, you don't even have to do it for, like, you don't even have to dedicate an hour. And then this is the other part. Okay, like, how readily do we help others? But all we really need, like, are you not worthy of 2 minutes of your own time? Are you not worthy of 5 or 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. Like, how many hours have you spent on the phone listening to your sisters and brothers cry, right? Like, why do you not stop and give yourself the same love and affection and attention? 10 minutes.
Yep.
10, it's 2 minutes.
Yep.
2 minutes.
Just sit out in the sun, like get a cheap little notebook and write your thoughts for 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes. Have a cup of tea. Like, it's not, and no, that doesn't solve all your problems and heal everything that needs healing, but it's an integral part of caring for yourself and believing you deserve it. Like, massage your face with some oil before you get in the shower. Take 2 minutes. Just like, take some breaths.
You are worthy. Focus. I mean, like, think about how well do we treat our best friends?
Yeah.
How well in the beginning, I'll say in the beginning, because I feel like after you're with somebody for a million years, they kind of, it's like bland and we forget the sparkle and we don't care for people like we did in the beginning of a relationship. Right. But think of like when you first met your spouse or your partner, like you were so excited to love and lavish them. Like, when the F did you stop doing that for yourself? And why did you stop? And don't stop. Like,
I think also, I think also self-care can teach us that our worth doesn't have to come from other people. Cause I think a lot of people, if they're not in a relationship or they're not doing well in a relationship, that they feel like all their worth is just, it's kaput. And like, if you know that no matter what happens, who you're with or who you're not with, what they think or say to you or whatever, that your worth never diminishes in relation to that.
Right.
And I think that's something that, I mean, I'm still learning that too. We're all still learning, but it's
what's
important.
Funny is like my daughter and like her little generation, she just turned, she'll be 14, but her little group, they're a different cut.
Oh yeah.
This group of young ladies, they're entirely different. She was born on the tails of a lightning bolt. The night she was born, it was one of the worst lightning storms I've ever seen in my life. And I've been to Florida my whole life, so I've seen some rain and thunderstorms, but this was like purple and green and blue lightning was the night of her birth. And I'm like, I should have known. That would have been who she is. And that's how all her friends are. Like, I've not met a meek baby her age. The boys, I've seen the boys are more sensitive. They're not the crazy hearty things that I feel like, you know, the 70s and 80s babies were. They're different. So God's like, I'm so tired of you guys all being little victims and not taking care of yourself. So I'm just going to make new people that's going to remind you that you deserve to love yourself and be confident.
Yes. I love the confidence.
I feel like they're breaking us.
The confidence of girls coming up now. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Like, just,
and they're
just
made this way.
I know. Like, it took me till I was 30 to stop straightening my hair and like covering my face with makeup because I was ashamed of my freckles. You know, and like knowing that girls coming up, I do now. Like, I love everything now, but you know, through the 80s and 90s, you know, like,
I'm still getting there.
Straighten that hair and don't, you know, be as skinny as you can be and whatever. And now girls are, you know, natural texture. I love it so much. Like, I'm a hairdresser as well. And so nowadays, like, we're working with so much more natural texture and curls and, you know, oh, it's amazing. And girls are doing what they want, not what their boyfriends want. Like, you know, like,
or what the magazine cover says.
I'm going to cut my hair off if I want to cut my hair off. And like, it is just hair and it's a simple thing, but it can be a big confidence boost. You know, like it's a little thing, but it's a big thing. You know,
it is a big thing. I chopped mine off and I hadn't had this short since I was in middle school. And it's a big gigantic change.
Yep.
First off, it's nice to be ready in 10 minutes instead of like an hour and a half. That's nice.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I shaved everything underneath because my hair is really dense and wavy and curly.
Is it?
And now I can wear it down and it's not, it doesn't just overwhelm me and it's not hot, but it's still like plenty of hair. And that was just, it's refreshing just to cut some off every few months.
Just kind of mine had been with me through all the trauma and I wanted new, happy energy. I'm like, this hair, it's holding all that garbage. I'm going to let it go.
Oh, yeah. It feels great. It feels great.
Yeah.
But I had one question for you in relation to, like, your partner. Their spiritual beliefs and your spiritual beliefs, are they the same? Are they different? Like, what does that look like? Because I know with my husband, he does not believe what I believe. But he's very respectful of me. He's very supportive. And so I like to talk to different people who maybe if their partners might see things a little differently and what that dynamic is like.
Yeah. Yeah, so John, my beloved, he has the same exact wounds I have, plus a big giant one. So for him and his path, I can see how he doesn't believe in God and a maker. And he wasn't raised religious. I wasn't raised religious either. I didn't become religious until I got married. Mm-hmm. My ex-husband was a Southern Baptist. And then with my Jewish and Catholic, ended up being Presbyterian. Presbyterian is a really good marriage of everything. And our church specifically completely loves people how you're supposed to love people. Mm-hmm. But then after the divorce and everything, I stayed at the church and I got reacquainted with John, and he's wounded and just doesn't believe in God, and he's respectful and open, and I super appreciate that. And with my I want to have a healing center. With my dream of the healing center, he's so over the top encouraging and supportive, and he's got little outlets that he can help me with. And I wish he would understand that he is sacred and beloved and worthy. And I think that's the hardest part for me, is knowing that there is a great, amazing, loving power in us and all around us. And you need only ask. Mm-hmm. He had only asked for one thing, and that prayer was not answered. And it was a big, giant, awful, hard prayer. What else I wish, like if I die tomorrow, what I wish people understood is that everything, no matter how hideous, is always perfect, and it is always for you. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, this hurts and this broke me. How can this be for me? Well, this life is a blip on the journey of your soul, and your soul is infinite. So once we step out of the skin and we get to look back at the life, we're going to see, oh, I see what you did there. And then you're going to realize that you planned this anyway. Like, right. you picked everything. You picked the beauty as well as the ugly. So it's hard, but I appreciate that he's loving and gentle and supportive of it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Now that makes a lot of sense, learning. Though, you know.
You said the word manifest the other day. I was like, oh, hello.
Yeah, we'll sit and my husband and I can talk about anything, and he'll ask questions, you know, and gets more familiar with things as I talk about it. Yeah. But the same with me, like my heart's desire is that he would just see how loved he is, and how he's worthy too, because his woundings are pretty deep, and a lot of, you know, there's some self-loathing there. And I want him to see himself through my eyes and through Spirit's eyes, that, you know, just he's so loved. But, you know, I think,
imagine if everyone could see that. How we can change the whole world. Mm-hmm. If everyone understood, I am divine and worthy because I'm breathing, not because of my socioeconomic status or my accomplishments or my failures.
Right. That's a big one. I think with men especially, that they hang on to their like earthly life, you know, failures or shortcomings or however they see it, a lot more than we do.
Right. Or lack of success, because society says you need to be X, Y. Don't cry and make all the money.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I appreciate that, you know, he's respectful and supportive. Like, you can't ask for more than that, honestly. Like, that's the crux of a good relationship, is respect, mutual respect. And like, you know, like I told you before we started recording, he came home from work today to help me connect everything and make sure that my podcaster was working properly and the outputs were right. And like, he's my tech support. And like, the podcast is something that we do together. Like, he's the sound engineer and he helps me edit. That's and, awesome. You know, he's very talented in that tech world. I am so not. And so it's a good partnership.
That is.
But you know, this podcast, I talk a lot about spiritual things and he listens to every episode. He's so supportive.
That's awesome.
And I think sometimes people can run into the roadblock of like just wanting their partner so bad to like see what they see. And I do, and you do. But I also understand that his path is his own, and God's will for him and what Spirit has in store may not come right away. It may be later. It may be the next life. Who knows?
That's okay.
We can't pick that for each other. I'm just glad to be doing life with him, and that we can complement each other the way we do, even with all the differences, you know.
Yeah. I think that's huge. Honoring the journey of the soul, that in this life, this may not be.
Yeah. You can't push people. Like, you can tell them your truth and your story, and you can offer healing as much as you can. And believe me, he gets his Reiki healings. He loves those. But
does he feel anything? Like, has he ever told, like, oh my God, I could feel you?
Oh yeah. That? Like, physically he feels, that's awesome. You know, he can feel the heat and,
that's awesome.
You know, the balancing. A lot of times we work on, like anxiety. If he's having more of an agitated kind of day, those are good Reiki days because it brings that down like several levels. And so he knows it works, you know? So that's, I think, awesome. Part of that, you know, part of his respect for me is that he knows it's not just hogwash, but you know, it's still not his bag, and that's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But at least he doesn't like talk down to me or, you know, like, they're doing that witchy stuff again. You know, he doesn't do that.
Yes. Yeah, that's so important for sure.
Yep. Well, I know you said you had to get off at 1:50, you said?
Yeah, or 1:55. It only takes me 5 minutes to get to the kids' school, so 1:55.
Okay, it's 1:46 right now, so I just want to ask you a couple, like, rapid-fire questions before I let you go.
Okay.
And also, to let you know before the end, like, this has been so nice, and I appreciate you coming on and spending some time with me, and your story is very sweet, and I'm glad that you wanted to share with people. Okay, so question number one, what is something that lights you up?
Cupcakes.
Oh, yeah. And
donuts.
I love donuts.
I actually have donut decor in my house all over the place.
Oh yeah. What's one thing that scares you?
Not a lot. Not anymore.
Same.
Before it was spiders.
Mm-hmm.
Before it was spiders, and now in shamanism, spider is the creative energy that we go to help manifest our life and create the life of our dreams. And she also helps. She lends her web sometimes to help me heal someone's energetic body. So,
oh, that's beautiful.
Not a lot.
Me either. I used to be scared of just about everything, just an anxious ball of mess. And snakes kind of freaked me out. And a snake actually visited me once in meditation, and it was so nice.
That's
just
awesome.
That medicine was strong. And now I'm like, snakes are cool. I like them.
In ours, it helps. She teaches us to shed her skin, to shed our past the way she sheds her skin, and let go of that which doesn't serve us. So that's and grounding, because she's obviously very well grounded.
Yeah, grounding is big for me. That's like smoky quartz was my first stone that I started working with, and I still very heavily work with that medicine, even energetically when I'm working with people. That transmutation is just. Man, that's some
good stuff.
Oh, it's good stuff. Okay, last one. How do you love yourself best?
That's tough. I have no idea. I think that is still my biggest challenge, is to to stop and care and love thyself. It's hard.
Yeah.
So that, not very
that's
well.
A process.
That's my answer.
How do I, but see, by well, asking now, you know that's still a nugget to work on, right?
Yep.
Well, thank you so much.
And if I don't get
it
right in this life, I have infinite lives to get it right.
That's true. Like, we have chances.
Yeah.
Well, Crystal, thank you.
This was so, you're my first podcast, so thanks.
Oh, nice. Well, I might have you back at another time. This was fantastic. I'd love to dig in deeper about your shamanism training and stuff.
Crystals. Yeah,
yes.
You mentioned crystals. I'm like, crystals. Oh, my God. Everything's so good.
Shamanism, crystals. Oh, yes, all of it. So, yes, so I will have you back on.
Well,
so,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a delightful day. Thank you.
You too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.